You may be glad to have me back, but not half as much as I'm glad to be back. I won't go into the details of this past week, but my disobedience to the leading of the Spirit gave me a hard week. So I've learned some lessons again. Even though I've been doing this for 40 years, I still got to learn some new things, and that is to listen to God and obey Him. The thing that amazed me tonight as I sat there was that God would actually use any of us as imperfect vessels to just speak through us and encourage us. Yes. You know, here we are, just ordinary everyday people, and yet God chose to be in us and use us. Praise the Lord. So if you got your Bible tonight, that's great. I had a story I read, and I wanted to share it with you tonight. I might have used the story before, I can't really remember, but I read this story some time ago, and it was about a French aristocrat, and his name was Baron Richard Darcy. Baron Richard Darcy. And this is just a number of years ago, but he decided he would get an unusual pet. And so he got a lion cub, and he had a lion cub which he got. It was not much bigger than a little pussycat, I guess, when he got it. But the lion cub began to grow and grow, and it got to the place where it had to sleep in his bath at night because it was too big to be anywhere else. And so he'd put it into the bathroom each night, and as I read the story, it says one night back in 1977, now that's only 32 years ago, he was trying to encourage this lion to go into the bathroom and to sleep in the bath. But the lion didn't want to go in. And so they're eyeing each other off. The lion and Baron Darcy are, you know, seeing who's going to make the first move. And the lion jumped on the Baron and killed him. So his pet killed him. And it made me think about this because the Bible teaches us that even though he had it as a pet, that he couldn't change the nature of the beast. It was a wild beast by nature. And he thought somehow by having it in his home and having it there and looking after it and feeding it and petting it, that it would change. But when the cut came to shove, it was still a wild beast. And I found that every one of us, as created beings, we can't change. The Bible tells us that the only way that a beast will change is for the beast to die. And every one of us, we can't change ourselves. We're stuck with what we were born with. We were born into sin. We were born sinners. It wasn't our choice. That's just how it is because of what happened in the Garden of Eden all of those years ago. And so we were born into this thing, and we were sinners by nature, and we had no choice in the matter. But the only way for us to be free and get free from the sin nature is to die. And if we were in Philippines and we were saying to die, they would not be sure whether we're Australian saying it's today or you have to die. Because when I was in Philippines, they didn't understand the Australians who were there, but they really didn't have any trouble with me because my diction was more British and American than it was Australian. And so when Australians go to Philippines, they think when they're talking about to die, we'll do this. They think they're going to die. So we all have to die somewhere along the line. And we're not sinners because we sin. It's the other way around. We sin because we have a sin nature. Every one of us in this room has sinned at some stage. Not, you know, and we're not picking out your sin or my sin. Most of you who know me know my background. I've been a policeman and a dance hall bouncer and worked in pubs and clubs and done all those things. So if we're looking at the list of sins, mine's as big as anyone else and probably bigger in most cases. But thank God that when I realized that things had to change, the only way to change was that I could change by dying to the nature that I had and being born again, being changed. And so that's the only way to do it. And so we are born again, and when we're born again, when we make a choice to live for God, and we don't understand all these things. I mean, we're listening to Naomi and Ulu and the speaking in tongues, all that. We don't understand all that. We don't have to. It's not our responsibility to understand. It's just our responsibility to do it. And if we just obey God and follow His Spirit, then these good things will begin to flow in our lives. And so we see that we need to be people then who are born again. I was born into, in my first birth, born into the Presbyterian Church. Why? Because my parents were Presbyterians. They were religious and went to church regularly, at least twice a year. And, you know, it was a bore and a time that I didn't want to go to church. I used to sit in the church that we were in. We had the back seat in the balcony. We were the furthest possible to get away from the preacher. And so we'd sit at the back of the balcony, and our name, Campbell, was on the seat. My grandfather had been in that seat, and my father, and I was there. And I used to think, what a waste of time. I hated every minute of it. In fact, I used to not go to church. My dad would give me a shilling in those days. Anyone remember what a shilling is? He used to give me a shilling, and he said, when you go to church, that's for the offering. Now, that meant that there was, at the end of the year, when they put out the report, which those churches in those days did back in Ireland, they'd put out a report, and everyone's name was in there, and it gave your giving for the year. And so our giving for the year was 52 shillings. Sometimes my dad wondered how come it wasn't 52 shillings. I was supposed to put that shilling in every week, but didn't always happen that way. But I remember him looking at that report as it came out, and he'd see his name there, and it had whatever, 50 shillings or 52 shillings, and then he'd look at the doctor or the chemist, and he'd see that they hadn't given much more, and he would comment on how little they gave, but he never went. Do you know what I'm saying? So there has to be a change of nature, and the change of nature comes through being a new creation. Let's look at some scripture tonight, because I think it's important that we do that. If you got your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians with me. And we'll just read a couple of verses there. There's a few verses I want to bring to your attention tonight. And I appreciate all of your prayers this week. It has been wonderful. I've needed the prayers and you've needed the practice, so that's all right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, go down to about verse 17. You know the verse, we've read it often. This is what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So the key is to be in Christ. Now, can I just say this? If you're not in Christ, you're an old creation. And the old creation is not going to spend time in eternity with God as Father and with Jesus as brother and with the Holy Spirit. But the old creation is going to spend time with the devil and his crowd. And whether you believe in hell or not, it's a real place. You know, I've had people try to debate it with me, and they say, well, I don't believe in hell. I said, well, you'll find out when you get there, you know, how real it really is. And we've done studies on it. We've talked about it many times. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, not will be, but is. So this is where the change comes. We change from being old. We change this nature and become a new creation. And it says, listen to it, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So all the old nature, the old wild beast nature, if you like, we talked about the lion, the old nature, the wild nature is gone when we come into Christ. We have this new nature, and we become righteous. Not because we look better, Tom, not because we talk better, not because we even think better, but because the Word says we are once we follow the simple steps of being born again. We come into Christ, and we get born again. Now, there's a lot of scriptures that we can look at tonight. 2 Peter, for example. Let me just follow me in these, if you would. It would be great. Make a little note of them. They'll help you one day along. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says this. Well, let's read verse 3. Well, we could read verse 2. They're all good, aren't they? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who created us by glory and virtue, by which, listen to this, we have been given exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. This is the life of God. That you may be partakers of the life of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have this new nature. It comes onto us by the promises. by these great and these precious promises. Some of the versions say exceedingly great and precious promises. So they're wonderful, and all we have to do is spend some time in them. Now, I'm not saying that you need to lock yourself away and read the Bible continually, but if you read a verse a day, you know, someone said a verse a day keeps the doctor away. You just start to read a little bit of it. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or read the Gospel, some of the other letters that Paul wrote to the churches, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. For example, how many times have I suggested you read the book of Ephesians? Six little chapters. You can read them all in, half an hour, three quarters of an hour. So just read the book of Ephesians every day for 30 days. Your life will change. Totally, totally change. See, I learned some of these things by reading the Word of God. I spent time in the Word of God and discovered who I was. I was not the same creature that I was when I lived in Ireland all of these years ago. When Elizabeth married me, I was not someone that you may necessarily have wanted to know. She didn't know a lot about my background and my life. But she loved my uniform when I was a policeman. And so, you know, I made up a foursome one night. She was going with another policeman. All right, and the other policeman was on duty, and her cousin, who went with another policeman, said, "Oh, Norm, would you make up a foursome, because Elizabeth's boyfriend isn't able, or the boy that she was going with wasn't able to be there." So I made up the foursome, took the girl, and the other guy was out, and that was it. And so here we are, 45 years later. But she's found out some things about me, just like I found out some things about her. Do you know the thing that attracted me to her more than anything else? And I've said this before, and I've said it to her time and time and time again. Listen to this. She was clean. I'm going to say that word again. She was clean. When I got close to her, I could smell clean. I didn't smell sweat. I didn't smell untidy. I was happy to be near her. Because I come from a background of people who are tidy. And if any of you have been in our house, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you've been in Naomi's house, you'll know what I'm talking about. Been in Ian's house, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's a family thing. We all like tidy. We all like clean. We all like things neat. That's just how it is. Now, if you saw my office sometimes, you might wonder. But the thing that attracted me to her initially was she was clean. Now, she was a church girl, and I'd been out with a number of girls in my lifetime. But when I met Elizabeth, there was something different about her. There's something just different about her that attracted me to her. And here we are, as I say, all these 45 years later. But, you know, she prayed for me for several years that I would change. And it took her on her knees quite a bit, and her working with God and God working with her, and eventually I got changed. But I got changed because I had a major motor accident and spent 14 months in hospital, lying in a hospital bed for 14 months, my leg in plaster cast, 5 compound fractures, gangrene, all that stuff, which is so awful. And eventually I came to a place where I said, "God, I don't understand this, but I give up." And God came into my life. I invited Jesus Christ to come in. My life changed. The first day she came around to see me at hospital after I made the decision, I said to her, "Honey, can you bring a Bible to me?" Now, her minister had been to see me several times, and I almost punched him. Because having been a bouncer, you see, you tend to be a bit like that. But I realized that I couldn't change myself. Now, go with me into Psalm 51, if you would. Psalm 51. Because I just want to show you some things in the Word so you can understand where I'm coming from and why I'm saying the things I'm saying tonight. Psalm 51, verse 5. This is what it says. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." I'm going to say it again because I don't think you got hold of that. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Like I said in the beginning, I was born a sinner. So were you. Every one of you who are listening to me, doesn't matter whether you're 7 years old or whatever, 80-something. You're all born in sin. That's why there has to be a change. There has to be a change, and we have to make a decision to make a change. Now here's David in Psalm 50, where were we, 51? Psalm 51 saying he was born in sin, shapen in iniquity, some versions say, and in sin my mother conceived me. But down in verse 10 he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit or a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 11 he says, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So here's David trying to change himself. He's saying, God, I need to change. Help me do this. Help me change. And let me tell you something. You can't change yourself. You need God's help to change. You need God's help. Doesn't matter whether you say, well, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm Calithumpian, Catholic, whatever it is. Do you realize there's going to be no Baptists and no Pentecostals and no Calithumpians and no Catholics in heaven? There's only going to be Christians. People who have been born again. Because if we got these little tags on that says we belong to a Family Faith Center, and you go up, your tag's going to fall off. If you go down, it's going to burn off. So the tag doesn't mean a thing. Thank God for the tags. We recognize who we are, and you know, we're with each other. But we need to understand that we can't change ourselves. You can't say, well, I'll turn over a new leaf every time the old one gets dirty. People try to do that. You do every new year. They say, well, let's make some New Year resolutions. We're not going to eat so much this year. We're going to go to the gym every day. And by the end of January, nobody's going to the gym and they're still eating everything that they were eating before. New Year resolutions didn't work. You can't change yourself. I couldn't change myself. Now let me take you to another scripture, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 13. Find Jeremiah 13. If you get there before me, wait on me. Jeremiah 13. In verse 23, Jeremiah 13:23. Listen to this. This is the New King James Version. Different versions may say it slightly differently. It says, can the Ethiopian change his skin? All that's really saying is, can a person with dark skin change it? Well, I don't know. Michael Jackson tried, I guess. And look where he is today. You don't want to know where he is today. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard its spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. In other words, what he's saying is, if you're a dark-skinned person, you're a dark-skinned person. If you're a light-skinned person, you're a light-skinned person. You can't change that. Now, if you're white and you go out in the sun, you're going to get red. So I guess there is some change. But a leopard can't change its spots. It's stuck with what it is. A leopard can't go into a car wash and come out striped. It's spotted. That's how it is. It can't change. And that's just how it is. We, by nature, are sinners. We can't change ourselves. That's why we need God in our lives. That's why we need the presence of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Now, I hope you understand what I'm getting at tonight. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, let's just quickly read that. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2 says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you understand that? See, we have to die to the sin nature. Because if you don't, you will continue in the sin. You'll continue to do the things that you know you shouldn't do. And it's so difficult to stop doing things once you create a habit of doing them. We've told you before that if you do something for 30 days, what happens? You create a habit. But if you do that thing for 90 days, you've created a lifestyle. A person who's a smoker, for example, and I smoked in my lifetime, if you smoke for 30 days, you just get used to doing it, your body gets used to it, and you get used to all the smoke and the dirt and the filth getting into you and so on. And you just do it. You know, you persevere and you can do it. If you keep doing it for 90 days, well, it's a lifestyle then. You never worry about it. You have to have it first thing in the morning before anything else. Coffee and cigarette. Now you try breaking that. You got to break that habit. That means that old nature has to be dealt with. I'm just using smoking as an illustration. But it's the same thing with any particular sin. Doesn't matter what it is. We have to break away from the habit of doing it. And so we need to break the habit. And you only do that by dying to that thing. You die to the habit. You don't do it anymore. What do they say? You take cold turkey. I mean, people who do drugs, you know, they pump it in their arms. Now, when I was growing up and working in clubs and pubs, drugs weren't a problem. Nobody was doing drugs. I mean, they drink brandy and coke or something like that. That's about the worst thing they do. But today, I mean, look at the streets today. Every day, the Herald Sun. What do you see in the front of the Herald Sun? Melbourne is becoming an unsafe city. They're looking for more police. They want to... There's so many things happening. You feel unsafe going out on the street because of what's happening. You know, and it's worse, I believe, now in Melbourne than it was. And we've been in around a lot of America. You know, I've been in San Francisco, I've been in LA and different places, and it's dark there at night, and you know, there's gangs around. Well, it's getting like that here now. So you need to be very careful when you go out, because those gangs, the people who are doing that, that's the old nature. So we have to individually get away from that old nature. So it says, how do we do that? We die to that so we no longer live in it. Now, I want to go on a little further. Now, what I've put down in my little note here is that because we are now dead to sin and alive to Christ, we can't continue in the sin any longer. We've died to the sin, so we're now dead to the sin nature, but we're now alive and have the nature of Christ in us. So we're changing. We're becoming more like Jesus, coming more like Him. Now, that verse doesn't say that we've arrived. Excuse me. It doesn't say we've arrived and somehow or other we have this sinless perfection. It doesn't say we'll never sin again. We all have opportunity to sin every day, but it's a choice to say, no, I'm not going to do that. How many times have we talked about, you know, that God has said, I've put before you life and death, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, life, death, blessing, cursing, choose life, it's better. We have to make a choice. And so our choice is we're going to live the life that God has called us to. But it also does not say that we have died to the temptation. The temptation is still there. There's still a temptation that we could do those things, but we overcome that temptation by saying, no, I'm not going to do that because that's not what God has planned for my life. I'm living above that now. If you're interested in a full study on this, we did this at a camp, 2001, I think it was. Well, boy, that's 8 years ago, Russell. Okay, we did a camp in Hall's Gap, and it was dead to sin and alive to God. And so we've got, I think it's 6 CDs on this whole subject, and they're available if you want to get them. It's entirely up to you. We won't be forcing anything on you. So every person, including every Christian, will be tempted every day, and sadly to say so many Christians give in to the temptation. You know, we are people who are supposed to be not easily tempted. In other words, we have to be above the temptation. But sometimes we're sort of stuck with these things unless we really deal with them. We have to put these things aside and start to live for the Lord. What it does say is that we've died to sin. Now, before we were born again, we all lived in the kingdom of darkness. You know that. We've talked about that previously. We lived in the kingdom of darkness. I mean, we say, well, we live in South Morang or Mill Park or Epping or Thomastown. It doesn't matter. It is all the kingdom of darkness if you're not in Christ. So we live in the kingdom of darkness until we get taken out of it. And listen to me, the power of the kingdom of darkness is sin. I'm going to say it again because you need to hear that. The power that is operating in the kingdom of darkness is sin. We need to come out from under that and be brought into the kingdom of light. Colossians chapter 1. Listen to it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. This is what Paul writing to the church at Colossae, this is what he says. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13. He has, King James probably says he hath, okay? That means past tense. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated or conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. I'm going to say that slowly because I don't think you've actually gripped onto that. He has already, once we come to Christ, He has taken us out from under the power of darkness. That's the power, that's sin. Sin is the power of darkness. Taken us out from under that darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, or the kingdom of light. Now, the power of the kingdom of light is grace. See, we should no longer serve sin. We now serve grace. We've been taken out from one kingdom and put into another kingdom by our choice. We've made a choice. Now we're in God's kingdom, and He is in us. What did Paul say? Galatians 2:20. It's no longer Norman who lives, but it's now Christ who lives in Norman. And the life that Norman is now living, he lives by the faith of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for Norman. So the decisions I make now can be easy. They're easy to make because I make them from a light perspective. I'm making them being led by the one who's inside of me. And the one who's inside of you, Gemma, and inside of you, Mark, and so on. The same Jesus. How can He be in all of us at once? Well, that's how He is. He is omnipresent. He can be everywhere, in everyone, all at the same time. So we just read there, He's taken us out from the darkness, and He's delivered us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We're now in the kingdom of light. And you know what? Let's go back to Romans again. Another reference, Romans chapter 5. Well, we'll wind this up soon. I just want you to try and get this whole idea and thought to you. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 says, moreover, Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Listen to this. But where sin abounded, listen to it, grace abounded much more. Verse 21. So that sin reigned. Okay, sin reigned. That's not talking about the rain that comes down from the sky. Who reigns? Kings and queens. Okay? So sin was king. He reigned and ruled in your life and mine. Listen to it. So that as sin reigned or was king in death, even so grace might reign or be king through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's simple. When we were in the world, when we were in darkness, sin was king. Sin ruled over us. And Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 5 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. So the power of darkness was sin. And we did what sin said. But we've been taken out of that dark pit and moved up into the kingdom of His dear Son, where now grace abounds and grace is king. So we now live under grace. We don't live under sin anymore. We've been changed. We've been moved up. We've been taken away from and moved into. Sin produces death, but grace produces life. It says, unto eternal life. sin the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. So sin produces death, but grace produces life. We thank God for the grace of God. So if you read through sometime when you've got the feeling to do so, read Romans 5 and Romans 6. And you'll see some things there. Now we have, listen, I've got to try and get this to you. We have in us this new nature. It's called righteousness, Tom. We have this new nature. But we also have a problem. The new nature is living in an old body. Even though we have the new nature, our body is still ruled by much of what's happening around about us and by our five senses. So we need to change our way of thinking. What does Proverbs 23:7 say? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so we need to change our way of thinking. We need to start thinking righteousness. I mean, when you have opportunity to sin, you say, no, thank you, I'll pass on that. And allow the nature that is within you, that is the nature of Christ, to start and come out. Allow the nature of Christ to come out in your relationship with your husband, your wife, your children, or whoever. Allow that nature, the nature of the greater one, to come out in you. And begin to realize that grace is stronger. See, the good news is that our bodies are now subject to this new nature. But we have to train it. Just as we trained our bodies to do all the things that the old nature told it to do, we now have to train it to do all the things that the new nature tells us we should do. How do we do that? By doing the Word. By obeying the Word. By saying what God says instead of what our body is saying. My body this week has been telling me that this ear is bunged up. And if I listen to my body, that's true. You may think I'm shouting a little bit tonight, but I'm trying to project my voice. But it sounds to me like I'm yelling at the top of my lungs almost. I know I'm not, but that's what it sounds like to me. But you see, I'm telling my body what the Word has to say. I've been telling it all week that Isaiah 50 in verse 4 says that He will open my ear morning by morning to hear with the ear of the learned. I'm telling it that in Isaiah 58 verse 11 it says, my healing will spring forth speedily. See, so what am I doing? I'm training my body to obey the Word rather than trying to make what's happening out there be the standard. The standard is what God says. The standard is not what my body's telling me. Because Jesus personally took this condition that I've had this past week on His body at Calvary 2,000 years ago, so I don't need to have it. But the reason I've got it is because I was disobedient last Saturday and didn't listen to God. You know, you'd think, as I said, like after doing this for 40 years, you'd learn something. But when God told me last Saturday morning in Sydney, don't fly. This is all I heard. Rent a car and drive home. Why would I want to do that? That's an 8-hour drive. I've already got a ticket which says I can get onto Virgin Blue with Elizabeth. We're able to fly home. We'd be home in 1 hour rather than spending all day driving. And Elizabeth even said when we were having breakfast, you know, if we rented a car, by the time the plane goes, we'd be halfway home. And I just pushed it all behind me and said, it's a long drive, I don't want to get tired, etc., etc., you know. And of course, 5 minutes into the plane, we're up in the air and pop, my ear goes. Now, God knew ahead of time. And He wasn't testing me. He was giving me an opportunity not to have this. Because He knew what would happen. Because He knows your heart. And I had opportunity not to have what I've got. I've got what I've got because of my own silly situation. So I've repented and said, thank you, Lord. I'm not taking my medicine, which is the Word of God. We need to take you need to take this medicine. Proverbs 4 says, the Word is medicine to all your flesh. We need to take it with the same confidence that you go to the doctor and he give you a little blue pill or a little green pill and say, take that little green pill 4 times a day and, you know, you'll be well. You need to take this gospels 4 or 5 times a day with the same confidence. And if we do that, it works. doesn't always work as quick as the aspirin or the Panadol or whatever, but it has already worked before we ever took it. It depends on our ability to receive it. So what we're saying to you now is this, that Christ, the new nature, is in us, and he is now directing our bodies, and if we allow him to do so and allow him to have access into all the areas of our lives, then we are no longer slaves to sin and darkness. We are now free in God to walk in righteousness. Him whom the Son sets free, John 8:36, is what? Is free. So our choice is to be free. It's easy to be free once you begin to read the Word. Now, let me take 4 or 5 minutes and just finish on this. Go back to Romans 6 with me for a moment, and I'll finish this off for you tonight. I trust you've understood what I'm trying to get to, and that is that the old nature has to be dealt with. And in Romans chapter 6, we're just going to look at several things in Romans 6. It's a wonderful chapter. We didn't spend time there. I just mentioned a couple of things in chapter 5. But in Romans 6, I've got 4 simple steps that will give us victory. Verse 2 and 3, Romans 6, verse 2 and 3 says, "Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Or do we not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" So the first simple step is this. We must know and understand that we have died to sin's dominion and power in our lives. Sin no longer has dominion over me. You need to know that for you. Sin no longer has dominion over you. In verse 8, it says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." We have to believe the truth of the Word of God, and that is that we now live in Christ and he lives in us. We no longer live in the world. If you get the set of CDs on Dead to Sin and Alive to Live in Christ, one of the things that I start off by teaching is this, that we are in Christ in the world. Okay, if we don't have the screen, I can't draw this, but if you can imagine a circle and call that circle Christ and put a dot in the middle, that's you in the middle and Christ is around you. But then a bigger circle around the outside is the world. So you're in Christ in the world. You're protected by being in Christ from the influence and sin that's in the world. Do you understand? Is that? Can you see what I'm saying? So when we're in Christ, then we're protected. We have to believe that. Verse 11, Romans 6:11. "Likewise also reckon," is what one version says, "or consider yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord." We have to consider ourselves dead to sin and to its power over us. It has no power over us now when we're in Christ. It has no power. We have been able to break that power by what God says. That power has been broken by the Word of God and what it says about you. The Word says, "By the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, you were healed." So we're healed. We're not the going to be healed. Doesn't matter what the body says. It's what we believe. And God will come through with his Word if we will believe the Word and confess the Word. See, you will rise or fall to the level of your confession of what God says about you. You'll rise or fall to the level of what God says about your relationships. You'll rise or fall to what God's Word says about your finances. This is how it all works. You say what God says. All right, one more. Number 4, verse 13, still in Romans 6, verse 13. And says, "Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." What are we talking about, your members? Well, your hands, your feet, your eyes, all the members of your body, individual body. Don't present them for unrighteousness, but present them for righteousness. Don't allow them to sin. Don't allow your eyes to sin by looking at certain things. Don't allow your ears to sin by listening to certain things. Don't allow your mouth to sin by saying certain things. Yield your members to righteousness. Say what God says. Believe what God says. See what God says. Hear what God says. And guess what? You're being led by the Word day by day by day. Let me take you to one last verse, and we'll finish on this. Just let me find it. It's in Hebrews. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Listen to it. It says, therefore, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, or profession, some versions say, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the high priest of what you say. He is the apostle and high priest of what you say. Listen to me. Provided you say what God says. If you're not saying what God says, you negate Christ's ministry as your high priest. Some of you are looking very worried about this tonight. I'm trying to encourage you. Be blessed. You are a new creation if you've received Jesus. If you're in Christ. See, our whole message is in Christ. Who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do in Christ. See, we're no longer sinners out there in the world. We are now Christians. It says the disciples were first called Christ-like or Christians at Antioch. So we are Christ-like people. And that ought to show through in our relationships with each other, within the body of Christ, and with each other in the family. We need to have a Christ-like attitude. It should shine through in our dealings. I always remember this, and I tell this story on end sometimes, but I always remember this. Because we've trained him and encouraged him and tried to make him understand the principles of righteousness and honesty and so forth, that he had opportunity one time, and I think we were living at Scoresby, if I remember, and this is when he had that little Scorpion car, which he talked about last week, when he had this little Mitsubishi Scorpion car, and he went to the Kmart store and he bought oil and several bits and pieces for the car, because his car is always Mickey Mouse, spick and span, and so on. And when he went into the Kmart, he bought the items, gave the lady on the checkout $50, paid for it, came out and realized she'd given him change for $100. He had his $50 back plus the rest of the change. So here he is outside, about to get into his car. Thoughts come in. He can tell you the story. Kmart's a big company. They won't miss $50. But the Spirit of God, the nature of righteousness on the inside of him, said, no, no, no. The girl who gave the wrong change is going to have to make it up at the end of the day. So he went back in again and said, excuse me, I think you made a mistake. She said, no, no, I didn't make any mistakes. Everything's right. He said, I think you made a mistake. She said, no, 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 no mistake. Everything's right. He said, you gave me too much money. She said, sorry, I'll take it. You see, the nature of the individual. Because we've reared our kids that there is a standard, and especially being true from Elizabeth's point of view. When the kids were small and they're at school, and she'd always say, well, you can do it. You know, we tried to encourage them, but her especially would tell them, you know, Ian would go to school and Elizabeth would go and hear a report from the teacher, whatever it is, and come home and say, well, Mom, what did the teacher say? And Elizabeth would always say, she says you're a genius. You can do anything you want. Always the same. You're a genius. And he has, you know, he's got businesses going, and you know, he believed it all, and it worked. Do you know what I'm saying? See, the nature comes up in the individual. It's how you react to a situation determines what's in your heart. In any situation you face, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is going to determine what's in here. Jesus said, out of the abundance, Matthew 12, 35, I think it is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So whatever you've put in is going to come out when the pressure's on. So we need to recognize that the old nature, the nature of the lion, the nature of the wild beast, is gone. He's been dealt with. We're no longer out there fighting and struggling and trying to make a buck to get past. We're now living in the kingdom of God. Do you believe me? Yes. All right, some of you do. I'm not sure about the rest of you. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, look, there's a quarter to. It's time to... I've gone for 45 minutes. That's long enough. Praise the Lord. Ian, you're finishing off today, are you? You can finish.